You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If an auto or motorcycle accident caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. If you're just joining us, Kevin Love, 5 years, $110 million. Tristan Thompson, 5 years, $80 million. Both returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So great news for the Cavs. Cavs fans, that nucleus will be staying together. A lot of money, yes, but they should be able to find some people to come in and get after those rings. The role players, Amon Shumpert, LeBron James, obviously will be hopefully back soon. LeBron definitely coming back. Amon Shumpert, they got to see if they can get it done. Hopefully when the new salary cap comes out, the Tristan Thompson deal doesn't look quite as bad. But right now, seems like a lot of money, but he's LeBron's boy, so you knew that one was getting done, and it is done. Kevin Love coming back. You can react to that at 3 o'clock with the Golden Boys. But now we're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and welcome in one of our favorite NFL folks from around the National Football League, Alex Marvez, Fox Sports 1 senior NFL reporter, and of course, SiriusXM NFL radio host. Alex, how you doing today?
I am doing just fine, and yes, NBA free agency, a flurry. It is so interesting because, like, it's almost like the NFL as well. You know, everyone just right away, the big names get signed. I guess the big difference is that unlike in the NFL where you pretty much have the deals in place now almost a week out before the start of free agency, there actually is a little bit of suspense going on in the NBA.
There is, and for the Cavs, a good day as Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson both decide to come back. Now, that's a little bit of a contrast to what the Browns did in free agency, where all their guys left as they looked to acquire some compensatory picks. They brought in guys, some veterans, Dwayne Bowe, Randy Starks, Tremont Williams, Josh McCown amongst them. How did you think the Browns did this offseason via free agency and the draft, and how do you feel about this roster overall?
You know, most teams that are in the state of the Browns try to get younger. This team somehow managed to get older. And it's a little hard for me to follow the logic of it unless you think that the Cleveland Browns are a contender and just a few pieces away in 2015 from competing for a playoff spot. And for a while last year, things were looking pretty good in Cleveland. The team was rolling, and then everything fell apart, you know, forcing Josh Gordon into the starting lineup when everyone was trying to tell, you know, the coaching staff, everyone in the media was even saying, you don't force a player in like that because it disrupts the flow of the offense. You know, Brian Hoyer is not familiar working with this guy chemistry-wise. Give it some time. Instead, they force feed Gordon down Hoyer's throat, and it ends up it hurts both players. And obviously, Hoyer is out. So the logic of signing guys who are 30-plus for a team like this escapes me a little bit. It's a little bit Oakland Raiders-esque.
Okay.
Especially when Josh McCown is your quarterback. I'm hopeful that, you know, because of the draft, you know, obviously now the offensive line looking really strong. And, you know, Duke Johnson has just been an absolute stud so far through OTAs, of course, running around in his shorts and a T-shirt. But nonetheless, that's optimistic. But, you know, what worries me about this Browns team is when you talk about all those players they signed, who is going to get open deep in Cleveland? Who scares a defense? Who stretches a zone? It isn't anyone in the wide receiver core. It isn't anyone in the tight end group. And that scares the heck out of me in Cleveland.
Talking with Alex Marvez from Fox Sports, what do you think about this defense? Last year, one of the best secondaries in the NFL. This year, the secondary, I think, got better. And also the defensive line, they addressed that with Danny Shelton, Starks, and, of course, drafting Xavier Cooper as well. How good can this defense be?
Well, I mean, I'm a huge Mike Pettine fan as a defensive mind. You know, when you saw the defense playing well last year, look, if Barkevious Mingo steps up and if it's for Fitz, we'd all be drunk. I get that. But, you know, Mingo is under the gun to produce. I mean, let's be real here. I mean, he has to step up his game. He was considered a reach when he was taken at number six, I believe, back in 2013, and hasn't done anything yet to justify that lofty draft status. So we got to watch him. We got to watch Justin Gilbert as well. You know, and unfortunately on the Browns, we have a lot of people who talk and say they're going to do things like Johnny Manziel, and that sometimes they don't come to pass. Well, same thing with Justin Gilbert here. Is he truly committed now to trying to become a good football player? Is he going to become a better team player? If he is, you know, the talent is there for this guy to be among the best corners in football, and he and Joe Hayden could be spectacular together. But losing Buster Skrine to me hurts. I don't like that. And we know Tashawn Gibson is probably a short timer unless the Browns want to use a franchise tag on him next year. But I do think that this group, because of the creativity of Mike Pettine and the talent that they've assembled, and Danny Shelton, by the way, he was 346 at the rookie combine. Rookie Symposium last week. This guy is going to be an absolute load to try to move off the line of scrimmage. So I think he definitely helps the run game. So, yeah, this should be a good defense.
Alex, when you look at the AFC North, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincy, all the playoffs last year, they were all excellent. how can the Browns chip away and move up? Because this is a very, very good division.
You're right. You know, and I think optimistically, and of course the Browns aren't going to approach it this way, but you just hope you can split with everybody, right?
Yep.
You go 3-3 in the division, and then if you go 6-4 the rest of the way, hey, you know what? You're a potential playoff team at 9-7, and everything is good there. So I think that's really what you're looking at, because I don't think any team right now in the AFC North is poised to take a step back. In fact, I think everyone is pretty much either the same or gotten better in a lot of ways. I mean, I think that the youth infusion in Pittsburgh is going to help them. We know how loaded they are on the offensive side of the football. Baltimore, very quietly over the past 2 years, has really retooled their team, and I think now is really primed for some great things again as well on their end. And, of course, they were a team that pushed the Patriots to the limit in the second round last year. And Cincinnati, of course, you know, the team that folds in the postseason. But when you look at their roster, and, in fact, I'm just writing up a preview right now of the Bengals. I mean, look at the linebacker depth. They lose Vontaze Burfict. You know, who knows how long he's going to be out of a microfracture. Yet they have guys like Vincent Ray, who had 100-something tackles last year. A.J. Hawk, a third-round pick in Paul Dawson, all ready to go off the bench. I mean, yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's really assembled a great group there. But, of course, one has to wonder how far can Andy Dalton take them, and is Marvin Lewis, I mean, can he get them over the hump and get them to their first playoff win since 1991?
Talking with Alex Marvez from Fox Sports 1. When you look at McCown, there was an article written today on NFL.com saying the top six expected disappointments in the NFL, and Josh McCown was listed as one of them. And I thought that was just an interesting thing. I thought, you know, an article like that would be six well-known, good players who have performed at a high level that maybe would take a step back. What are the expectations in your mind for Josh McCown? And is he a guy who you think is likely to meet, exceed, or, you know, fall short of said expectations?
See, my bar is pretty darn low.
That's what I think. Right.
Right. But I love Josh as a person. I mean, he's one of the nicest people you will ever meet. And as a football player, this guy, he's a good leader on a team. He does everything that you want as a teammate. But the problem is, I don't know, you know, unless he can truly recapture that flash in the pan season that he had with the Chicago Bears back in 2013, I can't tell you that Josh McCown is a winning caliber quarterback in this league on a consistent basis. And here's part of the problem. If you have a Josh McCown and he's your placeholder starter, well, you'd love to be able to develop a young quarterback behind him that's going to take his place. And with the way that everything has worked out with Johnny Manziel, I have zero confidence that Manziel can get on track. And I don't think Connor Shaw is really the answer either. So what are you doing here as a team? You know, I mean, what are you doing at the quarterback position, the most important position in the game, and you really think that Josh McCown is the answer? And I know that you know, the general manager wasn't a big Ray Farmer, wasn't a fan of Brian Hoyer's. He didn't believe in him, and it's one of the big reasons that Brian Hoyer is playing elsewhere. But I'm going to be very curious to see how Brian Hoyer plays with the Houston Texans this year compared to how Josh McCown plays with the Cleveland Browns.
Do you think Hoyer is going to beat out Ryan Mallett?
I don't think there's any question. I mean, Mallett, it's just he's really slow at, you know, getting rid of the football. And he's just not real mobile. But I mean, he can function in that system that Bill O'Brien has, because Bill has been with him ever since he started his NFL career, except for that time he left to Penn State. But he gets him. But I think Hoyer will do a good job. I mean, look, am I saying he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? No. But I think there were some reasons last year that were out of Brian Hoyer's control that everything fell apart in Cleveland. And one of them was Mike Pettine just being so wishy-washy on the quarterback. I mean, why not just say, look, realistically, Johnny Manziel is not ready to play. Unless this is coming from ownership, and ownership is really leaning hard to get Johnny Manziel on the football field. Well, if that was the case, you know what you got? Be careful what you wish for. Because this guy had the worst six quarters of any starting quarterback I saw in the NFL last year.
Let me ask you this for the final one here. When you look at this Deflategate going down, do you think Tom Brady gets the 4, or is it reduced to 2? What do you think ends up coming out of that?
I think it gets reduced to 2. I just think there's so many shaky things in that Wells report that go with it. Of course, it just depends also, what did Tom Brady share with the commissioner? Did he turn over phone messages? I just don't feel like Brady can completely exonerate himself. If that happens, then Roger Goodell may as well find a new investigator and forget about sticking with Ted Wells, because what you're saying then is that what the Wells report was just not, it wasn't well done, and it's, you know, if you were willing to give 4 games based on this report and then totally yank it after that, well, then why even bother going in that direction? So I think to save face for everybody, Brady gets 2. I think then at that point, you know, you move on from it. Of course, Brady could go to federal court, and that's the whole thing that's crazy about this, try to contest the suspension a la StarCaps. And then things get interesting again as well. If the court actually lets this go, issues an order that says Tom Brady must play till we hear this in court, at that point, well, the floodgates open for every player trying to appeal their suspension from the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Could get crazy. Alex, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter at Alex Marvez, Fox Sports 1's NFL Insider. And, of course, catch him on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for us. You want to react to Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson coming back to the Cavaliers. The Golden Boys have you covered here on ESPN Cleveland. Right now, got to feel good if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. Kevin Love is back. It's going to be another fun 5 years here as the core of this team staying together. Of course, you can check out his statement at Players Tribune. Check that out. Kevin Love with a little bit of a very brief letter announcing his desire to come back. With unfinished business, he is all in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. 5 years, $110 million, I'd be all in as well. For Jason Gibbs, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.